Once again, we'd like to turn to Galatians 6. We'll read verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom Christ, the world, is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What we read here needs to be viewed in two parts. There is Paul's declaration, what we looked at this morning, of where he found reason to rejoice and what he found to be praiseworthy, where he found satisfaction and contentment, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he's not referring, and I don't even need to say this, but he's not referring to an actual piece of wood, nor is he speaking of the cross as a symbol of Christianity. He is telling us that he does not lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this earth for him, and voluntarily and willingly went to the cross, laid down his life in his place and his stead. He's telling us, I do not lose sight of that. I glory in that fact. And then there's a second part which speaks of the effect that this had upon him. He says, by whom? Again, he's speaking of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, by whom? He doesn't refer back to the piece of wood. Doesn't say by it, but by whom? He's referring to the person of Jesus Christ. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. From that statement, we see that the power of what transpired on the cross is in the person, upon the cross. The power is not in the actual piece of wood. Again, by whom? Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So from this statement, we see that what transpired on the cross had a very powerful effect, had a very powerful impact upon Paul's view of the world, Paul's view of himself, Paul's attitude concerning the world and his attitude concerning himself. Again, Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, in laying down his life in his place instead, that's the central focus of my life, he is saying. And then he states that this is not without effect. This is not without impact. In other words, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ did not leave him indifferent, nor does it us. When we receive the work of the cross, the work that was done upon the cross, it never leaves an individual indifferent, never leaves them apathetic. Paul is saying this was very real to me, and it had a powerful effect. Had a powerful impact upon his entire being and life. Now, in light of that, notice what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and verse 24. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the cross. To the Jews, this is a stumbling block. They're offended by it. The Greeks, it's foolishness. To learn man, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, whether it be Jew or Greek, Christ, the power of God. That's in the context of Christ crucified. So the cross, the work of the cross, is the power of God. Not just in salvation, but in the way you and I live as well. Now this morning we spoke on just cross-centered, being centered upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Tonight we want to consider this second part of this verse and consider a cross-centered life. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So Jesus, dying for him, shaped his perception, shaped his attitude concerning himself, concerning the world. Now in our text, there are three crucifixions. There is the crucifixion of Christ that is stated in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the central thought of verse 14. But then there are two other crucifixions referred to. The world is crucified unto me. That's the second crucifixion. And then there's a third, and I unto the world. But it's those last two statements that we want to focus upon tonight. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It speaks of his perception, his relationship to the world. And it's based upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon Christ crucified. So note, we have two statements. Crucified unto the world, or the world crucified unto us, we're crucified unto the world. But look at the object of these two statements. It's seen in the words me and I, two pronouns referring to himself. And then there's a noun that is twice used, world. Me and I, referring directly to Paul. You and I can refer it to ourselves, apply it to ourselves. And then the world. The me and I refers to the one who gloried in the cross, the one who is centered upon what took place on the cross. He is the recipient of that work. He is the recipient of the purpose of that work. And in light of that, he speaks how it relates to the world. In light of himself as related to the world, again, he speaks of the world here as a system. It's not referring to the planet, but it's a system. It's a method. It's an approach to life. And the Word of God reveals very plainly that it is a system under the dominion of Satan, and in fact, it is the very embodiment of Satan. It bears Satan's image, the world. In the Word of God, the world is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan, which is the sphere of rebellion against God. So the world is a system of evil that is satanically informed. That's where it gets its information. And satanically ruled. As far as a way of life, it is the pathway of the unsaved who know not God. It is the pathway of those who walk in darkness. It is the pathway of those who walk in their fallen state. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 of the course of the world. The course, of course, speaks of the route, the direction, the path, the movement, the order, the procedure of the world. And it's all contrary to God. As a system, the world is the viewpoint of the unsaved. It is the viewpoint of those who are without God. It is their viewpoint concerning God. It is their viewpoint concerning man. It is their viewpoint concerning life. They are wrong in their viewpoint about God. They are wrong in their viewpoint about man. And they are wrong in their viewpoint about life. This is the world that Paul is speaking of. It is the worldview. And we need to carefully examine, as God's people, our worldview. Everyone has a worldview. They may not call it that, but everyone has a worldview. And our worldview simply ought to be this book. That's the lens that we are to see through. But it is the worldview of those who are estranged from God. It is the worldview of those who are darkened in their understanding. It is the worldview of those who are spiritually dead. So as a system, the world is the sum total of the thinking, the ideas, the philosophies, the values, the attitudes, the goals, the pursuits, the behavior of those who know not God, those who are alienated and estranged from God. The world as a system is a people living in response to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And again, as we've seen many times before, everything in the world is geared toward those three avenues: the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of man's heart. In our text, you have to view the world here as in the context of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that context is a world that finds Christ to be unappealing. Jesus Christ is very unappealing to the world today. That is the Christ of the Bible. Not only unappealing, he's appalling to the world. The world that crucified Christ found him to be very unappealing and found him to be appalling. So the world is the world that hates Christ. It's the world that crucified Christ, finds him to be quite an annoyance, and they're outraged by Christ, the world. The one who is a recipient of the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and the one who is focused upon what Jesus did in our place instead, that individual, Ephesians 2 again, no longer walks according to the course of this world and no longer views the world as they did before. Their view has changed. Their attitude of the world has changed. So notice how Paul views the world. He views it as crucified. The world is crucified unto me. Now before salvation, we are taken in by the world's pomp. We're taken in by the world's glory. We're taken in by the world's honor. But in view of what Jesus did upon the cross, the world's pomp, the world's glory, the world's honor all become vanity. they become a vain show. And they begin to fade into nothing. They have no meaning for those who are centered upon Jesus died for me. The things of the world begin to lose their meaning. So when the work of Jesus upon the cross is in view, at one time the positions of the world were very important. The influence of the world was very important. The admiration, the adulation, the applause of the world meant everything. But when our life is centered upon what Jesus did for me, those things fade. They mean nothing. It's like a person crucified. It's useless. So we can really tell, we can measure how much impact the Lord's work upon the cross has had upon us by our view of the world. And that's why today, again, worldliness is a huge problem. It's a huge problem amongst those who profess Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto me. He is saying, I view the world as a criminal hanged. That's how I view the world. Paul says, God help us to see the same way. He is saying, the world has no charm, has no attraction to me. A criminal crucified on a cross. There's no charm in that. There's no attraction. He's saying, the world has lost all its charm. In all of its attraction. He is saying the world has lost its power and influence upon me. You take a criminal upon a cross. That criminal has been crucified. Perhaps he robbed a family over here and that had an influence upon them. But once he's crucified upon the cross, it has no longer does he have power over them. And Paul is saying the world has lost its power over me. The world has lost its influence over me. Because I am centered upon Jesus for me. And therefore the world has lost its influence. You know, these people today say, well, you know, Brother Dan, it's just so hard. Well, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to break free from the world? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. If we're centered upon what Jesus Christ did for us, it's no problem. Let's face it, if it's hard, it's because we're centered upon the wrong thing. Because it shouldn't be hard to view the world as something that it's lost its influence on me. I do not consider the world as important, is what Paul is saying. He's saying, you take the wisdom of the world. He says, it's crucified unto me. It is the wisdom, and you and I can see this more and more as we move further into the last days. But the wisdom of this world is absurd. And Paul says, it means nothing to me. I do not chase after it. It's a criminal on the cross. I don't grope after it. It means nothing. I don't want it. The wisdom of the world. People will say, well, you need to say to us, all of us, you need to get with the times. I don't want to. That's a criminal condemned, crucified. It means nothing. It should have no power and influence in our life. You take the pursuits of the world. Paul says, the world is crucified unto me. The world in its wisdom. The world in its pursuits. They're all trifles. They mean nothing. Paul is saying. take the pleasures of the world. And God gives us pleasures, and we're not preaching against all pleasures, of course. But that shouldn't be what our life centers around. Those things are, the sinful pleasures of the world are, again, a criminal crucified. It means nothing. I haven't understood since the day the Lord saved me how in the world I ever took pleasure in getting wasted. There's no pleasure in that. Oh, we're just having a good time. But they don't even know what a good time is. That all changes when we're saved. We must realize that the world is enmity against God. And we view it as a criminal crucified. The world stands in the way of true service to God. And that's always so. Life stands in the way many times. Stands in the way of a life lived for Him. So may it be true of each one of us that know the Lord. The world is crucified unto me. The only way that will be so is if what transpired on the cross is central in our life. If it's not, then the world is crucified unto me will not be so. Then he views himself as crucified, and I unto the world. Paul is saying, my life has been greatly affected. My life has been greatly impacted. My life has been changed as a result of the work of Christ upon the cross for me. And all that being so, that my life has been impacted, my life has been changed, because of that, I mean nothing to the world. The world looks at me differently as well. You see, if we look on the world differently and the world now looks on us differently, again, where's the difficulty? Where's the difficulty? There shouldn't be one. The world considers us crucified. You know, I had an uncle who told me after the Lord saved me, he said, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. That's what Paul is saying here. I'm crucified unto the world. I'm crucified in the world. The world looks at me as useless. As somebody that just in the way. Now God blesses us. God is good to us and God gives us favor with some unsaved people. And to a certain degree, we can even have friendships with unsaved people. That's all the working of God. We understand that. But we also understand if we live for the Lord, we manifest the change that's taken place. The world doesn't want anything to do with us either. It's not all about you separating from the world. You do what's right, and most of the world will separate from you. You won't even have to worry about separating from. Well, how do I tell my friends? You don't have to. Just do what's right. They, for the most part, again, God's good to us. God gives us some friends. But for the most part, the world will separate from you. The world crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And why does the world consider us crucified? Because we no longer are attached to it. We no longer pursue the same things that they pursue. That makes them feel uncomfortable. They accuse you of being self-righteous for just simply doing what's right. You don't have to say a word. Just do what's right. And lost man gets uncomfortable and he accuses you of being self-righteous. And if he feels uncomfortable long enough, guess what? He doesn't want to be around you. I don't want to be around somebody I'm uncomfortable with. In the world, again, there are, God gives us some friends, and that's so we can have some influence in their lives and be a witness to them. But he's saying the world looks at me as a matter of disgust. I am crucified unto the world. You think about all those who walked by the cross. They shook their heads, it says. They were disgusted with Christ and were crucified unto the world. Most of the world will look at us with disgust. Again, this all goes back to being centered upon what took place at the cross. That being so, the world loses its charm. We begin to, we live different than the world. The world gets offended. They begin to separate from us. You have two extremes that are not compatible. They're not compatible. Then notice, not in the text, we'll move on. But Jesus, for him on the cross, not only changed his perception of the world and the world's perception of him, but it changed his perception concerning his purpose in life. Why are we here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and verse 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all. So what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the death of Christ. If he died for all, then they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He speaks of the love of Christ, and that is in the context of he died. It is in the context of him which died for them, the love of Christ. Again, it's equivalent to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone must have a motive in life. They must have a reason to get up in the morning. Must have a reason to continue on. They must have a purpose. They must have a foundation for living and conducting their lives. And Paul says, for me, it's the love of Christ that caused Christ to lay down his life for me. That gives me a purpose. That gives me, if you will, a motivational push to live my life for him. Paul says that the love that moved Christ to leave it all, to become poor, that we would be rich, the love of Christ that caused him to give his life so that we could have life, the love of Christ that caused him to take our sins upon himself and made him to be a curse for us, and it caused him to endure God's righteous anger against our sin upon his person. Paul says it's that love that motivates me. It is a motivational push in my life. He says the love of Christ constraineth. It motivates, it prompts, it moves. It moves us. It's not just a point of theology. It is something that moves us and inspires us something that should influence us, something that should activate us, pushes us, it propels us, it drives us. The love of Christ, again, in the context of the death of Christ, constraineth us. The love of Christ that led to the work of upon the cross fills us with unspeakable joy, fills us with praise. You know, the religious world, for the most part, views the cross as a tragedy. Paul gloried in it. He didn't view it as a tragedy. And nor are we. It's not a tragedy. It's something wonderful. But the religious world views it as a tragedy because they haven't received the work of the cross. And Paul goes on here and he says, we thus judge. We begin to think of how Jesus Christ died for us, and we begin to think about life. And we thus judge. We should not henceforth live unto ourselves. He said, it just makes sense. When the work of the cross gets a hold of us, when it grips our hearts, it just makes sense. You know what? I shouldn't live for myself. I ought to live for Him. I ought to live for Him. That's why you shouldn't have to plead with someone who's truly saved to live for the Lord. Centered upon what the Lord has done, it's just reasonable. It just makes sense. Nothing else makes sense. It makes sense. I need to live for Him. He's my purpose in life. And again, it's reasonable. It just makes sense. So we see this attitude here of, if Christ died for me, then I must live for Him. I must live for Him. Not to keep saved, but because He saved me. I must live for Him. I must serve Him. Galatians 2, verse 20, verse we've preached from many times. I live, yet not I, but Christ. He describes his life from the negative, not I. That is, life's not to be about ourselves, but Him, but Christ. That's describing it from the positive. And it's all said in relation to, in Galatians 2, verse 20, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So again, we get back to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that because of the work of Christ on the cross, because we have received that, we have become the recipient of it, Christ is now the priority of my life. And you know what? The world will never understand that. Never. The world will never understand how or why anyone would put Christ above family. They will not understand it. You can try and explain it all you want, and there's nothing wrong with explaining it because it's a good time to be a testimony. But unless the Lord saves them, they're not going to understand it at all. Not at all. And then it certainly doesn't help when those who profess to be Christ put everything ahead of them. They end up being enemies to the cause of Christ. But the world doesn't understand Jesus Christ as our priority. They don't understand that's who we want to pursue. That's our goal, is to become more like Jesus Christ. He's the aim of our life. Well, don't you want to move up, move up, and move up in whatever it is that we do? And there's, again, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with moving up as long as it doesn't keep you from serving the Lord. If it keeps you from serving the Lord, you need to recognize for what it is. Are you moving up? No, I don't think so. But that's not our aim. Our aim is Jesus Christ. The world doesn't understand that. And that's why, again, they view us as crucified. So the reality of Jesus Christ on the cross changes the emphasis and the direction of our life. You change the emphasis of your life, you will change the direction of your life. It changes the sentiment of our life. Changes the motive. Changes the purpose of our life. And you don't have to apologize to anyone for Jesus Christ being the priority of your life. Your loved ones won't understand it, but you don't have to apologize for it. Don't be rude, but you don't have to apologize for it. You just need to pray that God would help them save their soul so that they too would have the same purpose. So once the work of Christ gets a hold of us, the emphasis of life is no longer self. It's no longer about self-absorption or self-glorification or self-gratification or self-esteem. A lot of emphasis put upon self-esteem. Why? Because it's about self. But those who are the recipient of this work of the cross, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you read 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, and also Galatians 2 and verse 20, you see everything about life, none of it's separate or independent of Christ. Everything's connected to Christ. Everything's linked to Christ. We that are saved, we ought to want every area of our life to be connected and linked to the service of the Lord, to Jesus Christ. Again, he said in Galatians 2, verse 20, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. So we'll close, read the text again in Galatians 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto me. How much does the world mean to us? I mean, most of us have lived most of our lives. And most of us, the older you get, hopefully we have matured spiritually. And this world means less all the time. It means less every single day. And you know, you tell that to somebody in the world and they'll say, well, you're depressed. No, that doesn't have a thing to do with depression. It's a glorious thing. When the world has less and less and less attraction to us. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Again, God's good to us. He's given us favor with lost people. That's the goodness of God. Because it's not in Him by nature. It's the goodness of God for us. And God's good to us. He puts lost people in our lives that we can be friendly with, and they are friendly to us. That's not their nature, though. It's not their nature, but God's good. And God puts those people in our lives that I believe that we'd be a witness, that we'd be a testimony to them. that we be a blessing to them. But remember, they could turn on you just like that. All it takes is one word, and they'll turn. You got to realize that. But realize that's not what it's about. It's about Him. And I'm going to live for Him. It'll cost us some friendships along the way. It'll cost us friendships amongst those who profess to be the Lord's. But we can't be concerned about that. Our concern must be, I'm living for Him. And in our view, the world is crucified. I say our, I mean you and I. And the world looks at us and says, don't even bother with them. Don't bother with them. That's a compliment, by the way. When they say don't bother with them, they're not going to change. Praise the Lord. No use trying to get them to go along with us. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they know. But that's a consistent testimony. And we need to seek to be that consistent testimony amongst our family, amongst our neighbors, co-workers, whatever. That we would be a consistent testimony where they get the message. We're not going to do that. We're not doing it. Offer whatever you like. It doesn't change anything because those things don't appeal to us anyway. So God help us to be able to truthfully say, the world is crucified unto me. And that is the result of being centered upon what the Lord has done for us. Thank the Lord for what He has done for us. Thank the Lord. I mean, you just can't contemplate. You just can't fully understand Christ going to Calvary Christ leaving heaven for us. And then going to Calvary and laying down His life. And then now He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. And one day soon He's coming for us. We're blessed. And that ought to be seen in our lives. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.